Now, I was pulling your leg at the beginning, Robin, because I do know that you're doing a series on James. Is that right? Yes. So are you all experts now in the book of James? Oh. Okay. Question number one. Who wrote the book of James? Yeah. Paul? Oops. Yeah. Now, who is James? Brother of Jesus, yeah? What do you reckon?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, okay. When was the book of James written?
A long time.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
About 60 AD.
Oh, yeah.
44 to 48 AD,
yeah. You can check up there. Okay. Why was it written? To the persecuted church. Yeah, you were listening, weren't you?
Help and encourage
us. So where was this church when this letter was written?
In the
what?
In the diaspora.
In the diaspora. I don't know what that means.
The scattered Israelites.
The scattered, yeah. Yeah? Okay, so it was written by James to the Christians who were scattered. Why were they scattered? Persecution. So you have been listening. You are experts. Well done. Okay, so... Today, let's see if it's working. Oh, can you make this work for me? What do I need to do? Press the other button. Oh, yeah. If you've got a Bible, then let's turn to James 5. And then I'll read it out here. I'm not going to put it up on the screen. If you just want to listen along, that's fine. It says this. Be patient, then. Brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters. Or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count it as blessed those who have been persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Well, it's a pretty dense bit of Bible, isn't it? Every sentence, every word, you think, oh, there's something juicy going on there. So we'll try and have a look at it together. Patience. Dictionary definition of patience. In fact, if I said, let's have a little bit of patience, I always think of Take That. Yeah, that great comeback song. It's what the dictionary says. To be patient, able to accept or tolerate delays, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. How are you doing with that? Well, here's a few images of where people are not particularly patient. Here's the number one thing where people aren't patient. You've seen that before, ever? Buffering. You know, I remember when we got our first computer at home. Remember when you got your first one and you had to plug it in with your modem and you had to dial it up? And all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, it's coming. And then the image would begin to appear, wouldn't it? Line by line by line by line. Go and put the kettle on, line by line. Come back, make a cup of tea, about halfway there. And it's like, wow, we're connected. This is the most frustrating icon, isn't it? Haven't got signal! Walking around. Oh, yes, good here. Not too good here. How about this image? What are you like in car jams like this? I used to think, oh, Lord, thank you so much. I can just be patient here. Turn up the Christian music. Or are you a little bit sort of... Yeah, I'm not so annoyed. I think for me, doing running, I don't know what you think feel about this, helps you take in things a little bit more with perspective. So I don't get too bothered. But this type of thing, you've seen those photographs when the M3 was really chock-a-block, and people were getting out, weren't they, and just walking around. So that area, what about this area? And that's not waiting for a date, that's waiting for your food. You know, when you go out for a meal, they say, my logic is this. When they come to take the drinks order, tell them what you want to eat then. Yeah? Because if they say, take the drinks order, then they come back. A few weeks ago, Marianne and I, we went out to Cote. Anybody like eating in Cotes? Lovely. Yeah, I know you like eating in Cote, don't you? I think you've got shares in there, haven't you? So we had our meal in Cote. We happened to spot a few people that we knew. So we sort of waved across there. And we actually had a voucher. Because it happened to be my birthday, so a few weeks ago. So we thought we'd go out to Cote for a nice meal, use the voucher. But my birthday's on February the 13th. And it's a good day, isn't it? But it happened to be what they called Valentine's weekend. So they wouldn't accept the voucher. So we thought, oh, well, never mind. But when we went to pay, the lady said, actually, it's all been paid for. That's never, ever happened to me in my life. We think that it was the people that we saw, but we don't know. So if it was you, thank you very much. But waiting for your food can be rather annoying, can't it? What about this one? Waiting not for your computer to work, Colin can sort that for you, but you know when you send somebody a message and you just need their answer to come back to you, and it's like, well, why haven't they answered? You know, with WhatsApp, at least you can see if they got the message or not. But you send somebody an email, it's like, well, how long does it take for you to answer the email? Calm. What about this image? Now, this is waiting for a promotion in work. Maybe that's something that you think, you know, you're working for this, and you just think, well, I'm doing all this, but this hopefully will lead to this next step, or this will lead to the next step. What do you like in that kind of thing? This is maybe a little bit more appropriate for the times in which we are living. Just being a little bit anxious about what's next. We can't see the future, can we? But there's lots of things to be worried about in our world at the moment. Praise God we have a faith. But a lot of people are very anxious and thinking, well, what's it going to be like? And I don't know whether any of you have done this. I've not noticed it myself, but one of the headlines on the news was people panic buying for fuel. Has anybody gone panic buying for fuel? I haven't, but yeah, some people have, haven't they? So there you go. What's next? Oh, yes. Back to the book of James. That's what we're doing, aren't we? Be patient until the Lord comes. You know, one of the things that was in thinking at the times when James wrote his letter was the almost imminent arrival of Jesus. They were living thinking he was going to be coming back. I mean, that phrase, you know, until the Lord comes, or we are living in the last days, that kind of started not long after Jesus went. And here we are. We're still in the last days. Because to my knowledge, Jesus has not yet returned. So we are still waiting for the Lord to return. So we live in that not yet. Just as the same as those people who were scattered when James was writing to them. And we don't know when he's going to come. A few years ago, somebody in our church, they're no longer in our church, this was before the Olympics, they came to me, they were really concerned because they had seen, do you remember the opening ceremony for the 2012 Olympics? They had that kind of sort of round Glastonbury area, like the big hill, didn't they? And they said to me, I really believe that God is not happy with the opening ceremony. And I said it really seriously. I'm going, oh yeah. I said, yeah, do you know what? I think this could be the end of the world. All right. Okay. What do you do when somebody says that? Well, do you know what? They were a false prophet because it didn't happen. But there are times, aren't there, when people think, this is it. Could this be it? Could this be it? Well, my Bible tells me we don't know. So we are still living in the waiting for the Lord to return. So what does James do? He draws out a few illustrations. And the first one is that of a farmer. Okay. Anybody here enjoys planting things? Any gardens here? Green-fingered people? Yeah. Oh, good. Well, we're not very good at it. In our house, in our garden, over the years, we have tried to plant certain things. I do my research, you know, south-facing, full shade, partial shade. You know, you see the little ticket on the plants. Well, some of the plants I put in the garden have worked. Others haven't. I put a fern. I thought, can't go wrong with a fern. I put a fern in. And then went really cold. And within 2 weeks, dead. Just didn't work. But a couple of years ago, we tried doing tomatoes. Well, they worked. We planted them and they worked. Now, here in James, James says, look, the farmer is waiting. He's being patient. He's only waiting because he did remember to plant some seed. If the farmer had not planted the seed, nothing would be coming up. Quite logical, isn't it? So, what are we doing in this time of waiting? What kind of seed are we sowing? How are we living in these days, waiting for God to send Jesus in return? Because the farmer was being proactive, not just sitting around. You see, there are people out there who don't know about Jesus. We think knowing Jesus is a good thing, don't we? Actually, we think it's more than just a good thing. It's life transforming. That actually knowing Jesus is really, really good. And therefore, I think we should be the kind of people that are always looking to tell people about Jesus in word and in deed. Now, I'm just going to have a little sip of water, and I'm going to tell you a little story of what happened just last week. I was out with a friend of mine, and we were out for lunch down at Ask, the Italian restaurant. And this guy, some of you will know, is Will Ross. He used to be the pastor at Buckskin Evangelical Church. He retired earlier this year, and they're moving very, very soon. In fact, we'd gone out for a meal together, which I said was going to be our last supper. I said, look, I'm not going to wash your feet, but we can go out for a meal together. That time, I really got really upset. I got very emotional because he's been a really good friend over sort of 30 years. Anyway, we went out for a meal. Again, I think he was a bit bored, to be honest, because he's waiting to move. And we were chatting to the waitress, and I said, you never guess what this man used to do. So she's trying to guess, and eventually he said he's a retired church pastor. Oh, and I said, and I'm a pastor too. What do you think about God? She said, well, I'm not sure, she said, but I do think there's a kind of a higher power out there. I said, yeah, I think you're right. I think absolutely, I think there is. And so we were chatting a bit more, and it wasn't particularly busy. And I said, oh, do you know what? We're doing this course coming up soon, which just really explains a little bit about God. It's called the Alpha Course. I said, you'd be very welcome to come. He said, you know, we really do believe that God is able to do things now. You know, he's able to touch people, change people's lives, even heal them. Anyway, she said she had a kind of a bit of a bad back. And I felt a little prod from the Holy Spirit to say, just pray for her. Here we are in the middle of Ask Restaurant. She's the duty manager, and I think I should be praying for her. So how do you do it in those kind of environments? So I said, look, would you mind if I prayed for you? She went, okay. So I said, I'm just going to ask that God would just kind of let you know that he's real. Maybe he would just bless you. Okay, she said, look, you stay there. I'll stay here. I'm going to look at, I'm going to pray now. And I just said, Lord, thank you for her. Her name was Millie. I said, Lord, would you just show her that you're real and just touch her. Just do something, God. Amen. She went, are you all right? She went, no. I said, why? She said, I really felt something in my body. And I said, you know, I said, that is God just letting you know he exists and he's for you. I said, it's not magic. That is the power of God. And she went, oh, thank you. Now, I don't know what happened beyond that, but because I stepped out, sowed that seed, God was doing something. Let me encourage you, and Robin is an expert in this. is always offer to pray for people. We don't do it. It's God. But do you know what? I often think God wants to show people that he loves them. Not just through words, but also through deeds. Now, I don't know where Millie's at in her journey, but I like to think she's one step a little bit closer to God now, because I prayed and God did something. You know, so let me encourage you, sow those seeds. You know, when people talk to you, tell them you're a Christian. Tell them about your faith. Tell them about the anchor that you have in God in these disruptive and difficult times. The other thing it just says in James here is about these rains, the autumn and the spring rains. Now, don't really want to talk to British people about rain, because we've had an awful lot, haven't we? You know, the other day I saw something in the sky, a big yellow round thing, and somebody told me that's the sun. I said, I remember that from last year. You know, but there is a sense prophetically that the rains of God are coming on this land. You know, if you just research that, you just sense what's going on in the country. And I think God is doing something, you know. And if we have the eyes of faith, we can say, Lord, where are you working? I didn't go into Ask Restaurant looking for God to move. But during the conversation, it felt like, God, this was a moment. And God was wanting to do something. And it's like we just need to peel our eyes back sometimes and be saying, God, where are you at work? What are you doing amongst people at the moment? Because even though we live in these times, we are waiting for you, there are little seeds of hope. So may you be people who are planting them as you go. Let's move on, shall we? Be patient and stand firm. Now, one of the things I like to do when I read the Bible is try to remember it, but also think, well, where have I heard that before? You know, word association. So be patient, stand firm. So James is quoting this, but you think, I've heard that before somewhere, yeah? Not. So here's a couple of things here. Be patient. Patience. Not just to take that song, but it's also one of the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Be patient. Meaning that it grows in us. I mean, there are some people who are very naturally patient. They're just cool. I thought I was patient until we had kids. Thought I was patient before I started driving. There are external circumstances which test patience. But here's the good news. The Holy Spirit inside us can bear fruit of patience. It's a gift from God. So if you don't have it, if you struggle in that area, then why not say, God, please help me? That does not mean he's going to take away those external circumstances, but it might mean he's going to give us something on the inside to help us cope with those things. It's a fruit of the Spirit. What about stand firm? Anybody, where have you heard that before? Joshua. Ephesians. Anywhere else? Well, I thought of the armor of God. You know, stand firm. Funny image, isn't it? You know, Paul says, put all the armor on, ready for battle. And he says, stand firm. Doesn't even sound like they're attacking, does it? Just standing. And I think maybe in this day and age, God is saying to us, you know, when you're ready, just stand in me. Stand in what I have done for you. You can rely on me. I am the one who fights your battles. We need to be patient and to stand firm. Maybe those readers that James was writing this to were frightened. Who knows? They were scattered. They weren't together. But it's a lovely pastoral letter, isn't it? Stand firm in your faith. I don't know what you're facing at the moment. Maybe you're feeling like retreating. Maybe you're feeling like, I don't want to take the armor off and hide away. No. Stay in the armor and just stand. I'm even standing today with that posture of, look, I'm standing in God. He's the one who is my shield. He's the one who's my protection. Maybe James's readers, listeners needed to hear that. Maybe you need to hear that today. Oh, yeah. Who's that? Mr. Grumpy? It's Mr. Grumble. Never heard of Mr. Grumble? You must have done the Mr. Men story with your children, maybe. We've got all the... Did you do Mr. Men books? Yeah? I remember one time when our kids, when it was Dad's turn to read, they used to pick their favourite Mr. Man book. I was so tired. I fell asleep whilst I was reading it. And then my youngest was going, Dad, wake up! Mr. Grumble. James says this, don't grumble against one another. In fact, he says, don't grumble against anybody. Are there any grumblers here? Eyes down, hands up, you know, grumbling. Ooh, I'm not very happy what's going on here, you know. Why is he saying that, do you think, to his listeners? Perhaps they were prone to grumbling. I don't know. But it's quite easy to grumble, isn't it, muttering under our breath what's going on. But he was saying, look, you are God's people, you're God's community. We shouldn't be grumbling. We should be dealing with things. But actually, James puts a little bit more weight on it because he says, if you do grumble, you're going to be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Ooh, it's pretty intense, isn't it? Again, maybe they were thinking at the time that Jesus was going to be imminently coming back. But he's saying, look, this is not how the people of God should be. Jesus is watching. And of course, there's always this thing where Jesus sees what's going on. And that kind of is both a comfort and sometimes can be a bit of fearful as well, depending on how you look at it. But again, at that time, they were expecting Jesus to return. And he said, look, this is not a place for God's people to be grumblers. We don't want to be judged by Jesus for that. One way of dealing with that is to keep short accounts with one another. Because we can all be prone to not to be patient. We can all be prone to grumbling. But I think in the kingdom, as a church community, God wants us to, if something rises up, deal with it quickly. One of the things I say in our team is, like, we want to keep short accounts. We don't want to allow things to snowball to get worse and worse and worse. So if you find you become a bit of a Mr. or little Miss Grumble, maybe just say, Lord, there's a little area here, I just want you to help me with it and deal with it so we are not grumbling against one another. Now, James moves on. He talks about the farmer, and then he talks about the prophets. Now, here's just a few images of some prophets there. I mean, there are loads of prophets. Just shout out for me some of the particular Old Testament or maybe New Testament prophets that you know of, why James might be referring to them. Ezekiel, yeah, good one. Micah. Jeremiah. Was that? Amos. Daniel, yeah. Each one of these, like, they're great. You know, do a little study of these prophets. These people who saw something of God and maybe saw it in the spirit, but didn't see it being fulfilled. They were living in that sort of that now and that not yet. And they did also suffer, didn't they? You think of Daniel, I mean, an example there of how he was mistreated because of his faith. And it was great, even back then, for James's listeners, they had those Old Testament prophets that they could go back to, and they could see what they said, and they could see maybe some of the suffering that they went through. So again, they're encouragements for us, aren't they? These stories of these Old Testament prophets who saw something of God, and they had to live with this kind of, we see it, but it's maybe not happening. I'm always staggered by the great Christmas stuff of Isaiah, you know, for unto us a child is born. Oh, it's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And then we realize it was like 400, 500 years when he saw it before it actually happened. I mean, he never saw it. But he had to live. He saw it in the spirit, but you never saw it in the flesh. And I would suggest that we are a prophetic people. Why? Because we know the end of the story, don't we? We know that Jesus will someday return. And we know that it's going to be good. And maybe if you are motivated prophetically, you might see things of God. And you think, I want to see that now. It's almost like I want to pull it from the future to the present. And we live in that tension of it. And these prophets are great examples. But we, as church, are to be a prophetic community, living out a different way than maybe what the world doesn't understand, where its priorities are not our priorities. You know, when you become a Christian, everything changes, doesn't it? What the world says is important, all of a sudden to us, well, it isn't as important because we're living to a different rhythm. So we are to be a prophetic people. This is an artist impression of Job, because James finishes this particular section and he talks about Job. And I just want to read this particular quote from Job right at the beginning, where Job had lived his life. And I'm not going to go into the whole story of Job, but it all went. You know, there's this heavenly discussion between the devil and God. And he says, okay, you can strip Job of all that he had. And Job's response is this incredible: naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. I'm humbled by Job. Interesting, again, that James is quoting the story of Job, knowing that at the time the readers, they would have known of this story. Maybe it was the same as what we had. I don't know. But they knew of the sufferings that Job went through and what God did at the beginning of the story, through the story, and at the end of the story. So he talks about the farmer, the prophets, and Job. And then right at the end of the section, he says, you know, remember, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. The whole thing around persevering, I think you as a church, you've been there the last few years. You have persevered. You have kept going through difficult times. You've probably got the badge and the t-shirt because you've kept going through really difficult times. So I salute you. Say, thank you. Well done. This isn't just theory, it's been reality, it's practice, and you're still standing, you're still going for it, and it's lovely to see signs of new hope and life. The spring rains are falling, and God is doing what he's doing, so well done for persevering. As I finish, I was really drawn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 3. Again, written to encourage Christians in a difficult time. Just listen to these words. Maybe just close your eyes and listen to these words as we finish our time here, and then I will pray. Therefore, the writer says in Hebrews 12, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that these words from James, even though written hundreds of years ago, still challenge but also bring comfort to us today. Lord, I don't know what people here are facing. Maybe some are just struggling with being patient. I pray that that fruit would just grow in them, that the circumstances they find themselves in, that you would give them the patience that they need for it. I pray for us all that we would be women and men who continue to sow the gospel in word and in deed and in power, that we would be listeners of the Holy Spirit. And when you nudge us, we would say to people who don't know you, maybe about our faith, or offer to pray with people. Because we know that knowing you is so good. It really is wonderful knowing you. Lord, I pray for those who are just waiting for things that they are. There's that list of names that they're bringing before you day after day and just praying for them. Maybe family members or work colleagues or friends. Lord, we ask that you would hear our prayers. They would be like going into that bowl that Revelation talks about, filling up the bowl. May it get to the top and that you would act and answer those prayers. Lord, I pray that you would help us all to stand firm in our faith, that we would be reminded of what you have done for us, that the battle is the Lord's, that it's not flesh and blood we are fighting against, but it's those spiritual powers. Pray that you would give us a boldness just to stand in our faith in these days. Pray that you would deal with areas of grumbling and negativity, that we would live as the people of God, demonstrating to the world another way of living. Pray that we would be a prophetic people through word and again through deed, that we would see the not yet of the kingdom and sort of usher it in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our colleges, that we would see your kingdom come and your will being done in us and through us. Lord, we want to be people that together will persevere in faith. May we be those who cheer one another on. Lord, we have our ears open to your little promptings just to think, well, how's so-and-so doing? Let me just send them a message. Let me just call them up or WhatsApp them or just phone them and just encourage them. Because we're not in this by ourselves. We're in this together. So Lord, would you come again by your Holy Spirit? Let me encourage you just to receive the Holy Spirit again. Whatever you're facing, whatever struggles you've got, Holy Spirit, come upon us now. Fill us again. Prioritize your things. Empower us and give us boldness to do your works and your wonders. Not in our strength, but in your name. May your name be glorified and honored and proclaimed through us. For your glory, we pray this. Amen.